Jai Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya, reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 9. Lord Chaitanya's travel to the holy place. Lord Chaitanya's travels to the holy place. Texts 156 through 158. I'll do 56 and 57, and we can do 58 together. Manir yata vibhagena nila pita dibir yuta rupa bhedam avapnoti dhyana bheda tata chuta. When the jewel known as Vaidurya touches various other materials, it appears to be separated into different colors, and consequently its forms also appear different. Similarly, according to the meditational ecstasy of the devotee, the Lord, who is known as Achyuta, the infallible one, appears in different forms, although he is essentially one. Purport, this verse is quoted from the Sri Narada Pancharatra. Text 157. Bhate kahe kahan ami jivana pramara kahan tumi se Krishna sakshat ishara. Venkatabhata then said, I am an ordinary, fallen living entity, but you are Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead himself. And then we'll do this one the way we usually do it. Agadha isvar lila kichu nahi jani. Tumi ye kahase satya kadimani. Agada isvara lila kichuna jani. Tumi ye kahase satya kadimani. Agada isvara kicha kichu na jani. Tumi ye kahase satya karimani. Agada isvara lila kichu na jani. Tumi ye kahase satya karimani. Agada isvara lila kichu na jani. Tumi ye kahase satya karimani. Ladies? Agada isvara lila kichu na jani. Tumi ye kahase satya karimani. Agada isvara lila kichu na jani. Tumi ye kahase satya karimani. Agada, unfathomable. Isvara lila, pastimes of the Lord. Kichu, anything. Na jani, I do not know. To me, you, ye, whatever. Kaha, say. Say satya, that is right. Karimani, I accept. Translation. The transcendental pastimes of the Lord are unfathomable, and I do not know anything about them. Whatever you say, I accept as the truth. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is the way to understand the truth about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After hearing the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna said very much the same thing. Sarvam etadritam manye yamam vadasi keshava nahi te bhagavan vyaktim vidur devana dhanava. O Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have said. Neither the demigods nor the demons, O Lord, can understand your personality. Bhagavad Gita 10:14. It is not possible to understand the truth about the pastimes of the Lord simply by using our own logic, argument, and academic education. We must receive bona fide information from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as Arjuna received information when Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita. We have to accept the Bhagavad Gita or any other Vedic literature in good faith. These literatures are the only source of knowledge about the Lord. We must understand that we cannot comprehend the absolute truth by the speculative process. Om agyanati mirandasya gyanandana sarakaya chakshurunmilitam gena tasmai sri gurave namah. Madame, can you put that on again, please, and go back to text 153, same chapter. Just to reiterate how this particular group of verses fits into the conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Venkata Bhatta. We're coming to the end of the conversation now. Practically speaking, this is the Lord's final statement, and then, of course, Venkata Bhatta's 153. Sorry. Thank you. This is the point that Lord Chaitanya is making. 153. There is no difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Narayan, for they are of the same form. Similarly, there is no difference between the gopis and the goddess of fortune, for they are also of the same form. To reiterate a little bit what we're discussing, what Venkata Bhatta, and it's like, oh, Radhe Sham, Jai Krishna Balana. Lord Chaitanya was chiding and kidding and jesting with Venkata Bhatta, who was a worshipper of Narayan as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya asked him, why is it that the goddess of fortune performs austerities and penances trying to associate with Krishna if Lord Narayan is supreme? So this whole conversation that we've been studying for months is based upon that. And now the final conclusion that Lord Chaitanya is expressing is that there's really no difference between Lord Narayan and Lord Krishna, although we've discussed so many finer points of this topic. And he's showing how the absolute truth, he's stating that the absolute truth manifests in unlimited forms, according to the way that the devotee or his consorts desire. So that was 153, 154. The goddess of fortune enjoys the association of Krishna through the gopis. One should not differentiate between the forms of the Lord, for such a conception is offensive. Then there is no difference between the transcendental forms of the Lord. Different forms are manifested due to different attachments of different devotees. Actually, the Lord is one, but he appears in different forms just to satisfy his devotees. Then the verse today from the Narada Pancharatra. When the jewel known as Vaidurya touches various other materials, it appears to be separated into different colors, and consequently its forms also appear different. Similarly, according to the meditational ecstasy of the devotee, the Lord, who is known as Achyuta, the infallible one, appears in different forms, although he is essentially one. I'm not familiar with the Vaidurya stone, never saw one, never had one, but I looked it up, and I was amazed to find in the Sanskrit dictionary of the Vedabase that this word, Vaidurya, has been translated as a special diamond, lapis lazuli, emerald. How can the same stone be so differently translated? And the example is given in the verse that when a Vaidurya stone, apparently when this particular jewel comes in contact with other jewels, it becomes influenced by its atmosphere and surroundings, and therefore takes on the qualities, luster, glow, and nature of those nearby jewels. So similarly, who can remember the verse from Bhagavad Gita which states that as the devotees approach the Lord, he reciprocates with them accordingly? And we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, how I kind of created a triangle of the three verses. Anybody remember those? And thus, the reason for hearing, which we're going to discuss next. Ete chamsa kalapam sam krishnas tu bhagavan swayam was the first one at the top. Lord Chaitanya had quoted that verse, and he was explaining, it was explained, how there are unlimited forms of the Lord. Then in the lower left, ye yathamam prapadyante tamstathaiva bhajamyaham. In other words, the Lord has the capacity to reciprocate intimately with each living entity or his shaktis, personalities, or his eternal associates in a very intimate way. We don't have that capacity. We can't possibly do that. We're tiny, infinitesimal living entities. We can't do that. But he can do that. And then finally, anyabhilasita sunyam, jnana kamadi anavatam, nukulyena krishnanu, silam bhakti uttama. And the special quality of this verse is where I want to go with this particular concept. What we have here is two separate almost concepts, where the Lord is speaking and Venkatabhata is reciprocating with that statement, saying, I don't know anything, I accept whatever you say as the truth. So when I was given this assignment, I started thinking, okay, there's the general concept that you have to hear and chant, or you have to chant Hare Krishna in order to attain realization. But there are different levels of that expression and experience in relating with the absolute truth, as we're seeing here, according to the meditational ecstasy of the devotee, according to our approach, the Lord reciprocates responsively. It's kind of like in today's world, if you use one, if you have a computer, there's a new technology just came out in the last 2 or 3 years in a big way, where no matter what device you have, when you go onto a website, it fits into the device. Previously, if you like 5 years ago, if you had a phone and you tried to go online, it was like you couldn't see the whole page because it was like huge and your phone was little. So they've come up with the technology over the last couple of years. It's called responsive website. No matter what device you have, a tablet, a computer, a monitor, or even a phone, when you go onto a website, the whole thing fits into that device. So in the same way, the Lord responds responsively according to the way one approaches him. Taking that principle, now we want to go back to kind of like an overview where Venkatabhata is saying, I'm an ordinary living entity. I can't possibly understand the unfathomable Lord. The tiny infinitesimal spark, mamaivam sa jiva loke jiva bhuta samatana, has an inherent nature. Every living entity has this inherent personality. And the innermost quality of that spark is that it wants to experience rasa. It's important. What's it really looking for all the time? The living entity wants to experience rasa with the Supreme Person. But what happens is that in the material world, we become covered by the 8 material elements. Bhumira po nalo vayu kamano buddha evacha ahankara itiyame bina prakatir ashtada. The most subtle of that being the false ego. So I was thinking of an example. of something in the bottom of the ocean, like miles down. They have, how far they've gone? They've gone at least 2 or 3 miles down. Further? How far out? And say a living entity, a clam or an oyster or a krill or something, makes a noise or blows a bubble or does whatever it does. As that expression rises through the ocean, it's transformed. It's influenced by everything around it, and then finally it comes up and boop on the top of the ocean. So in the same way, what happens is the living entity, when it becomes covered by this 8,400,000 different kinds of bodies, expresses itself through the body and the false ego and the mind and intelligence. In its desire, it's an impulse. It's a natural impulse that's constant. It's 24/7, 365 eternally. It's looking. It wants to experience rasa and relationship with Krishna. But it becomes perverted and it becomes deflected and it becomes experienced through the things of this world. Like, I mean, an obvious example is love. We want to love Krishna as a soul, as a purest conscious entity. But we express that pure desire and desire for other things and love for other living entities, dogs, cats, children, spouses, sometimes people even, you know, put up posters of other people on their wall, you know, movie stars or sports team persons or politicians. It's unlimited, the different attractions we have in this world. And what we can do is kind of draw an analogy and say that according to the depth of the ocean, the living entity expresses that in more or less, Bhagavad Gita gives the example, that the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. Three examples are given. The embryo over the womb, the smoke over the fire, and the dust over the mirror, right? In other words, to the degree that one is covered and expresses that desire for rasa through the modes of material nature, it comes out in different ways, and the covering is considered greater or less. Let's take that same principle and apply it to our bhakti and see what happens. Anyabhilasita sunyam jnana karmani anavartam anukulyena krishna anu silanam. Bhakti, Jiva Goswami and Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur very nicely explain this verb root, seal, see. It means that the root of a verb is what's happening in any sentence. It's the action that's taking place. So what is the intent? What is the motive of the living entity in relationship to Krishna when it tries to express itself? And in the Harinam Chintamani, in Bhajan Rahasya, and in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the discussions between Lord Chaitanya and Haridas Thakur talk about the three different stages of chanting Hare Krishna. Namaparad, when one's chanting but committing offenses, critical, always like negative, has so many problems with different things. Then there's the Namabhas stage, and that's what we'll discuss a little bit now. And then Sudanam, which is pure chanting. In the fifth canto, there's a nice little overview. Prabhupada quotes the Chaitanya Charitamrita in such a way that it kind of covers the basic concept of Namabhas chanting. Kahe bale nama haite haya papa chaya. Kahe bale nama haite jivera moksha haya. Some say that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is freed from all the reactions of sinful life. And others say that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one attains liberation from material bondage. Haridasa kahena namera edui palanai, namera pale Krishna pade prema upajai. Haridas Thakur, however, said that the desired result of chanting the holy name is not that one is liberated from material bondage or freed from his sinful reactions, The actual result of the holy name of the Lord is, pardon? Prema, love of Krishna? Yes. That one awakens his dormant Krishna consciousness, his loving service to the Lord. So, Namabhas chanting, and then it goes on, nice example. Haridas Thakur said that liberation and freedom from the reactions and sinful activities are only byproducts of chanting the holy name of the Lord. If one chants the holy name of the Lord purely, he attains a platform of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this regard, Haridas Thakur gave an example comparing the power of the holy name to sunshine. E shlokera artakara panditera gan sabe kaha tumi kata arta vivaran. He placed a verse before all the learned scholars present, but the learned scholars asked him to state the purport of this verse. Haridasa kahena yache suryara udoy udaya na hoite arambe tamera hayaksaya. Haridas Thakur said that as the sun begins to rise, it dissipates the darkness of night even before the sunshine is visible. Chaura preta raksha dhira bhaya haya nas udaya hoile dharma karma adi parakash. Before the sunrise even takes place, the light of dawn destroys the fear of dangers of the night, such as disturbances by thieves, ghosts, and rakshasas. And when the sunshine actually appears, one engages in duties. Aiche nama dhyarambe papa adi rakshai udaya kahide krishna padehaya premadoi. Similarly, even before one's chanting of the holy name is pure, one is freed from all sinful reactions. And when he chants purely, he becomes a lover of Krishna. This is the root of what I wanted to discuss. The question may arise, naturally, after 50 years of ISKCON being manifest, why some people go away? Why some people go away and then come back? Why some devotees don't exhibit the qualities of the demigod? Because this is supposed to automatically manifest according to scripture. If one chants Hare Krishna, then automatically the qualities of the demigods manifest them. But if we look at people's lives and understand how they deal with one another, many times we see that this might not manifest as it should. And in one's life, I've come across devotees in the last couple of years who chanted Hare Krishna for 30 years, 35 years. And then somehow or another, you know, other things happened in their life. They got interested in other things, and they're not really chanting so much anymore. They just didn't stay with it. Why? If the holy name of Krishna is Krishna, and they're experiencing that taste of the actual quality of the soul, then what in the world would take them away? What is the science behind that? Let's just take an objective question. Why does that happen? How could that even possibly manifest? And many of them are not offensive. Somebody says, material offenses. He kind of just put it in a category. He's offensive. Or I had material desires and he had to fulfill them. Well, after 35 years, wouldn't you think that the cleansing was supposed to happen? And my understanding, my realization, my belief, is that the second part of what we're reading today kind of opens the door to that. Venkatabhat then said, I am an ordinary fallen living entity, but you are Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The transcendental pastimes of the Lord are unfathomable, and I do not know anything about them. Whatever you say, I accept as the truth. This opens the peep the door open to constant oral submissive reception. What happens is that as the sun starts to shine, right, you're in the darkness of night, you're in the darkness of ignorance. And the sun starts to rise, and we see it. You know, it's like first you can see little silhouettes and kind of slow and gradual, and then gradually you can see different forms. And even before the sun rises, you get a pretty good idea of what things are looking like around the yard or around your atmosphere. In the same way, take that same principle to a person who was in darkness of ignorance and started to chant Hare Krishna and follow sadhana. And what happens is that they start to get some realization and some understanding. of what life is about, who they are, what the relationship is with the Supreme Lord. But Namabhas chanting is compared with fog or dawn. It's not clear. It's not pure vision. I used to work on ferry boats. And the ferry boats, when they go across the ocean, especially in the early morning, hey, you can't even see 10 feet. Actually, Prabhupada explains this in one nice tape, when he was on the Jaladutta. They actually have to stop. And then each boat, each ship, and they do their horns, foghorn, so that they can know that somebody's out there. Of course, today they have radar, and you can always check that way, but to be safe by law, you have to do that. So although they're in the ocean and they can kind of see out there, and we understand a little bit about who we are and what we are, the clarity, the absolute clarity of who I am eternally, what is my siddha deha, what is my eternal personality, what is my relationship with Krishna? Am I satya? Am I dasya? Am I vatsalya? Am I madhurya? Do I wear blue? Do I wear red? All these different detailed features. What kind of earrings do I like? What kind of bangles do I wear? These things are unknown to us. Therefore, we're still in that stage where it's foggy. We're not seeing clearly. And thus, in Jiva Dharma, there's a really nice question. The whole book is a conversation of different Babajis and devotees that are asking and answering questions. And the devotee asks a really super question. He says, if the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra once completely liberates one from all sinful reactions, as we just read by Haridas Thakur, and cleanses one of all those reactions and liberates one from material nature, then what is the necessity to continue chanting? Super good question. It's like, why is it still recommended? If I got free, then I'd be bald. Why should I continue it? And the answer is that the living entity is so conditioned, that even though he's free, the natural tendency is to revert back, just like the change in the dog's tail, right? And try to straighten it up. And the other example is Prabhupada gives is pulling the plug on a fan. The fan is going around. You stop the electric going to it. You stop it completely, 100% pull the plug, no more electric energy. What happens to the fan? It continues because of the momentum. So when we take this concept that I talked about previously with the conditioning, there are two different energies which work on the living entity. Prakshepatmika, the pushing energy, I remember because of the P, prakshepatmika, it pushes the living entity into a certain situation, and then avaranatmika covers it and makes it satisfied. And this goes on constantly, prakshepatmika, avaranatmika, prakshepatmika, avaranatmika, every single moment. And what happens is that as we become a little more advanced and enlightened, we get the prakshepatmika, we get pushed into that nice position of so-called self-realization, some level of it, but then avaranatmika, oh, satisfied. Yes, now I'm making progress. I'm feeling good about my advancement in spiritual life, and perhaps I become a little lax or don't hear. What happens is when we hear, when we read, and come in contact with siddha devotees, perfected, liberated, pure devotees, and hear their words, nitya siddha krishna prema, sadya kabonai, Shravanada Sudachite Karya Udoy. This word Udoy means awaken, like when the sun rises. So this awakening is what we're hankering for. And the only way we can get it, it's if we hear about other things in life, there's so many topics. Pick up a newspaper, go to Google News or whatever. It's unlimited. And when we hear those things, what we're doing is we're actually expressing ourselves through all these modes in our search for some reciprocation with Krishna, but it's in the wrong way. It's in the wrong place. We're misdirecting our impulse. The impulse is there, and then it gets all deflected and twisted and comes out in another way. But when we hear, what happens is if we constantly have to do this on a regular basis, it's not it's chanting our rounds every day, being attentive. Ishan gave a nice example yesterday when he spoke about how previously it's like a kind of a general concept in our society that you just have to go, you just have to do the motions, you just have to do the rituals, show up every day, do the activities, and automatically the sun will come up and you'll see perfectly what's going on and enlightenment is there. But in actuality, what's supposed to happen is that as you awaken, more awareness of what's going on inside. Chaito darpana marjanam, what does it mean? It means there's something in there that's not clear, that's dirty. When Lord Chaitanya cleansed the Gundicha temple, you remember the story. What happened was he cleansed it out, and then he went back in again and had them do it over again to get the finer dust and grains, and those were described as the more subtle anarthas that the living entity has in the heart. Now, are we supposed to do like the psychologists do, to sit down and do therapy with everybody and kind of go through your whole list of all your different anarthas? No. What happens is that if you're chanting properly and hearing properly, what happens is that the manifestation of Krishna and that pure transcendent state starts to influence you. Nama, rupa, guna, lila. There's a progressive manifestation of the Lord and his qualities, his personality, and the actual soul, the conscious entity, starts to get reciprocation. Tesam satati yuktanam, vajatam pratipurvakam, vidami buddhi yogam tam, yenamamo payanti te. What's that other one? Punya Shravana Kirtana, Vedanta Stohya Badrani, Viduno Ti Suvitsatam. The Lord in the heart reciprocates. But if we don't chant, if we don't associate with those more advanced than ourselves, what happens? Avarnatmika, Prakshepatmika. Prakshepatmika, Avarnatmika. We become satisfied intellectually, emotionally, faultigoli, in a realm which is not spiritual. And because the soul is always, Sanatana Dharma will cause it to always, always, always search for that reciprocation with Krishna, then what happens is that if we don't, we continue to enjoy or experience life through our conditioned experience. And then when the soul leaves the body, it's covered by a subtle body desiring more material enjoyment, and material nature supplies it. Another material body, an 8,400,000 different species with all. Here's another nice example of the subtlety. Now, in Namabhas chanting, Keshava, can we put up 6.2.14? This is the verse which defines Namabhas chanting. It describes Ajamil's chanting, but it's a glorification of Namabhas. Namabhas chanting is wonderful, but there's one thing. By chanting Namabhasa, one becomes freed from sinful reactions. One is liberated from material life. But the one thing that Namabhas chanting does not reap, the fruit you don't get, is what? Love. Love for Krishna. Namabhasa chanting does not fulfill that. Everything else it does, but not that. So, do you have the Sanskrit? Sanketyam parihasyam va stobam helanam eva va vaikunta namagrahanam asheshagaharam vidu. One who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately freed from the reactions of unlimited sins, even if he chants indirectly to indicate something else. That's called Sanketyam, and that's the one I like to really focus on, because that's the one that Ajamil was doing, just to show you the subtlety of how the mind works when someone's chanting. And what we have to be aware of and attentive to is that when he was chanting in complete anxiety. Narayan! Because he was dying. And the Yamadutas were coming. And he called completely freed from anything else other than Narayan, his son. And he was thinking of his son. Sanketyam. Now, if I chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in my morning rounds, and I'm thinking of anything other than Krishna, then what am I chanting? Namabhas. Unless I'm offensive, depending on where you're. So I can say, here's a nice example. Telling the story of the Rasa dance. The full moon rose. Krishna went down to the banks of the Jamuna. Called the gopis with his flute. They came running to him, and everybody danced on the banks of the Jamuna. Beautiful story, beautiful thing. But if we hear and we go into the detail, we say, when the full moon rose, as the sun set, the pink sky with the jasmine flowers on the banks of the Jamuna started, the aroma started to enter into the forest, which inspired Sri Krishna to enjoy with his beautiful expansion gopis. So he pulled out his beautiful flute. He was dressed with Vajayanti garland. The water of the Jamuna was making a nice, beautiful rippling sound. And as Krishna played his flute, each gopi heard the sound vibration and thought that Krishna was calling her alone and immediately left everything, whatever they were doing. See the difference. How when you hear, it takes the mind to a more detailed, clear understanding of what's taking place. So in the same way, when we chant our rounds, when we go through our day, we should be attentive to what the mind is thinking of. Sanketyam, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also describes that if one is chanting without a clear understanding of sambandhigyan, in other words, who we are and who Krishna is and what that intimate relationship is, not in general, not the foggy one, but the clear one, then it's still namabhasa. And you have to continue and continue and continue that example of the seed growing. Everything is inherently within us, and it's naturally growing as long as we continue the process. And the more you do the process, the more water, the more sunlight, the more the plant grows. But as soon as we stop and become lax, then that other thing comes, the conditioned nature, and we start to feel satisfied with something that really won't satisfy us. One more final example. In today's world, it's really easy to understand how, if I'm chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, and I'm thinking of Narayan, Ija's son, I get one result. And if I chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare, and I think of Lord Damodar, whose month is coming up soon, I get a different result. The same way, if I'm going to call a telephone number on my cell phone, and I dial 462-1234, I connect with a person on the other end of the phone, right? I'm with another person. If I chant if I dial 462-1233, what happened? One microwave. I get a completely different person in a completely different place with a completely different personality. One microwave. If you take chart for the different elements in material nature, the scientific chart. Periodic table. Thank you. You look that up. There's like a nucleus, and then there's molecules around it. If there's 13 molecules around the nucleus, it's one element. Electrons. Thank you. Thank you. Good. Even smaller. If there's 13 electrons around the nucleus, you get one element. If there's 14 electrons around the nucleus, you get a completely other element. So, how subtle the mind. Prabhupada, I listened to a nice tape the other day. Prabhupada was talking about how I'm sitting in Los Angeles and I can immediately be in my rooms in India, in Radha Damodar. Immediately, in less than a second, boom, I'm there. And then he was describing how that's the mind. The intelligence is even finer The false ego is even finer, and the soul is even finer and faster. So we can attain Goloka Vrindavan even faster than the mind can go to India. But we have to be attentive. That's what it means. You know, it's an offense to be inattentive while chanting. It means that we have to become absorbed, not just in hearing. But there's more. The more we hear from the pure devotees, then apply that to our thought process. So this is an introduction to our next program online. The last month, we went to Tampa, and Samapriya's brother owns a condo there. So I had a nice retreat and became really absorbed in the Damodara Leela and put together a program that's called the Kartik Workshop. Took the whole pastime from Mother Yasoda coming out to churn butter to the end of the liberating the twin Arjuna trees, Mani Griva and Nalakuvera. All those verses into 14 different days for the first 2 weeks of Kartik, and put them into little booklets where there's a daily booklet. You read the booklet, then there's meditations on that topic for that day. And in this way, wow, it was beautiful to follow. You can pick out any lila, anything of Krishna consciousness, and this systematic approach of gradually hearing from the pure devotees what is taking place in that lila reaps the fruit of unlimited bliss and revelation of what's going on. So this is coming toward the end of the conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Venkata Bhatt, explaining why the goddess of fortune can't enter the Vasa dance. Keshava, this is a nice tape by Srila Prabhupada that I used during the Janmashtami meditation workshop on how Krishna knows our motive. Anybody that wants to check out that site, it's sadhusangaonline.com. Basically, what Srila Prabhupada is explaining is that although they approached Krishna with ill motive, Putana, Kamsa, Kubja, different devotees, still the approach, akama, savakama, va, moksha kama, udaradi, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajita Purusham Panam. Simply by approaching one becomes
so, if we take it very seriously, then we become gradually advanced and able to candidate to go into the spiritual.
I think this is from a couple of weeks ago. This is not the one I just gave. No. I don't think so. Sorry, I think that's from a previous. Is the thing still in the flash drive still there?
escape. But he stays and looking like he wants to kill me. But he is hungry to have them. But if my mother came to the monkey, then you can see the subconscious name. Of course, you should not have to want to come to this life.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions or comments? Discussion? Samrita Corporal?
Catch the third verse on the triangle or the right left.
Anyabhilasita sonyam jnanakamadi anavartam. Because of that seal. Seal means the motive. For the pleasure of Krishna. For Krishna. The verse is one who is Krishna favorable to Krishna. As Prabhupada was just explaining, Kamsa was fully Krishna conscious. He imagine his consciousness at every moment. He'd been thinking for how many years? 12 years. He'd been thinking of this omen that came from the sky that this eighth child's going to kill you. So it's described when he was waking, when he was sitting, when he was eating, he was always, when he saw his sister become pregnant and knew that Krishna was in the womb, his anxiety even increased, his Krishna consciousness increased even more because he knew that death was just about to come out of her womb. But his attitude, his motive wasn't favorable. So it's not considered bhakti. It's not something that should be cultivated. So that actually that's why the living entity comes to the material world, because that impulse to be favorable to Krishna is not mature. It's a whole process. Everything rests on that focal point. Fulcrum. Sukhita?
I so much appreciated your class and just the focus on the attention and the motivation for chanting. But it also, for me, opens up the scope and the magnitude of Srila Prabhupada's mercy and how we're so fortunate to be under that umbrella. Because he set up such an incredible program for us, you know. Yeah, we come, our ticket expression of love, good puja, green of the deities, everything. And he said unequivocally that if we chant 16 rounds every day, we follow the four regular principles, that at the end of this life, you know, we'll go back to Godhead. He said, Krishna will force himself into your mind.
Right.
So it's just like, it's inconceivable, really, because otherwise the process, for me, can sound complicated and almost like, wow, how can I ever get there? But because of Srila Prabhupada, he just carries us along.
Don't you think it's natural? It's a natural process. I didn't mean to make it sound complicated.
It probably doesn't to everybody. Sometimes for me, it does sound it, but Srila Prabhupada makes everything, you know, realized and doable, and allowing for so much, allowing to stay within his, you know, family, within his movement,
Well, you just used a good example that I may point out. You said sandwich. Mm-hmm. That sandwich was a morning and an evening program.
It's true.
So the sandwich in the temples really doesn't exist anymore. One has to almost apply it himself or herself, or make a program where you come to the temple and do some seva at night. Because practically speaking, on a societal level, that's one of the things, like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that in the due course of time, this science was lost. So we can see there are certain influences which manifested almost immediately after Srila Prabhupada left, that his influence was directing in one thing and set it up in one way. And almost immediately, it kind of transformed into something slightly different, like that cell phone example. The evening program is one, and book distribution rather than business is another. On a society level, you know, people started distributing records and kind of all other things very shortly after Prabhupada left. It wasn't even 5 years where in temples they started to do records and paintings instead of books. And it's just little changes like that. Another big one that I see in the world today is during Prabhupada's time, men and women couldn't live together without being married. Society, our society, wouldn't allow that. It wasn't an acceptable. Now we may have so many reasons we can say why it happened, but it's common. Just a few little examples that how we become that avarnatmika prakshipatmika. Avarnatmika pushes us to a position where we accept something that previously we might not have. Chaitanya Prabhu. But thank you for that wonderful glorification of Prabhupada, because it's true. His mercy means, who are we? How can we possibly attain these things without mercy? Not possible. So thank you for that, because that's a real gem in all our lives.
Thank you. I'm trying to remember, there's a book, I think we were even studying it one time, that Bhaktivinoda Bhajan Rahasya. And that, in that book, I remember little bits and pieces of it, very little bit, that Bhaktivinoda's meditation when he was chanting, that he would visualize Krishna's pastimes. Was that
part of it. The Bhajan Rahasya is a book expressing Bhaktivinoda's bhajan while he chants. And what he does is he takes each one of the Shikshastika prayers by Lord Chaitanya and corresponds that to the Astakaliya Lila by Radha and Krishna. He's meditating on Lord Chaitanya's Shikshastika and what each one of them means in the major portion of the text. And at the end of each Shikshastika, he puts in a part of the day where Radha and Krishna are performing their Lila, expressing how he did his bhajan.
You can see from that that he was very organized.
Yes, yes. A systematic approach. I was thinking the other day, I looked it up. About 6 years before he left the world, Bhaktivinoda, that's when he left everything. He actually left. He went to Puri and lived in the Bhakti Kuti. Sometimes he would put a bag over his head because he just didn't want any outside influence. He just wanted to hear and become absorbed. He was so transcendent to anything happening here.
Or that someone said that Bhaktivinoda said that the holy name is for one who has nothing else.
Namavina kitunahi komora chauda bhuvanamandya. There's nothing but the holy name in the 14 worlds. That what a vision.
I just wanted clarification. You were making a point why someone would leave after so many years.
Mm-hmm.
And is the bottom line because they weren't practicing Uttama Bhakti? That's when you launched into...
No, of course, every one of them is going to be subjective. You can't just make a general. But my understanding or my observation, because I know several of them, is that they didn't continue to hear and read and listen to lectures. In other words, what happens, the science, of my understanding, that's what I tried to express, is that you become kind of complacent and we're conditioned. So we get used to our conditioned experience. Like, here's an example. Samapriya's mother, her mother died when she was 17. And this young girl's reaction to that event was that she no longer believed in God. And she held that belief system all the way throughout her whole life, even though so many events in her life may have kind of pushed her in a different direction. So my point is, she had a realization when she was 17 years old, and she thought that that was the ultimate truth. So a lot of devotees, like I say in that example of the sun rising, they come to Krishna consciousness, they get some realization of who and what Krishna is and what the philosophy is, and they basically know Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the light's coming up. But then they stop, and they kind of carry that realization of who God is and who they are and what the relationship is with into their whole life, and they kind of hold on to that as their ultimate experience. But that inner impulse in the soul that wants to cultivate more, it pushes itself through the ocean and comes out in a way that, you know, you start to take to another path or start to read and chant, or you know, it's not as firmly fixed and strong, and the roots aren't as deep as they should be. And therefore, something else attracts them in this world.
Just, kind of, it goes along with, when Prabhupada started the Shastra courses, and this came out in a letter that Mal Krishna Maharaj sent around to the BBC, that Prabhupada signed, and he said two things, two motivations, that devotees were falling down due to insufficient philosophical understanding, and so again, hearing and chanting, and then he also felt that it was very important that devotees could properly represent our tradition by understanding the philosophy. Those are the two main points. I think that's something that's fairly easy to track. There's a reduction,
yes,
of sadhana, and then practically the cases I know, which are many. It's all that same pattern.
I think you brought up another good point. If you take the 5,000 disciples Srila Prabhupada initiated, how many of them continued, because many have left their bodies, continued to follow the practice of 16 rounds and four regulative principles the entire time? It shows you. Manusyanam sahasrishu kastajitati siddhaye. One out of thousands, even amongst those who are endeavoring. So to understand the science and follow it is very important. Otherwise, you may think we had a nice example. We were reading about, it was a couple of years ago, at one of the readings, and the topic came up about how actually not having more than your quota is not right for you. It's not good for you to hanker for more than you should have. And this one girl was saying, if I won the lottery, my life would just be so much better. And all the devotees were trying to convince her that if it's not your quota to win the lottery, then it's best you don't win it. And she couldn't accept it. She just said, no. If I won that, I know my life would be better. Deep, Prabhu?
Can I throw something else out here? It seems from one angle of vision, it seems anybody can leave or stay at any given moment. I mean, it's all based on free will. Like Ishan's class yesterday, I heard it. I mean, it's really good. I mean, but the one complicated thought that came into my mind is, you know, he was lamenting, and right, you know, it's a Vaishnava sentiment that, you know, he's taking up the process, for, you know, you have to apply it to the heart proactively. But you could also say, well, all that so-called mechanical chanting wasn't for waste because it brought someone to the point where now I have to actually look at the heart. Huh. I mean, you know, that doesn't come, that desire doesn't come from a vacuum, you know. Like he was mentioning, he was with a partner, and this partner was telling him, you know, you got to do that. But the reference points weren't there yet. You heard. And then when the purification was sufficient, suddenly all those things you heard made sense.
Yes.
You know, it's not just an intellectual thing.
Right.
You know, it has to touch the heart. The heart has to be cleared. Now it enters, you know, it consciously enters. So, you know, the process works in many levels.
Nice.
You know.
Good point.
And, yeah, and the other thing is, yeah, we can leave any time. And you know, we're clean, you know, we're chanting 35 years or whatever, and we're cleaning the heart, and it could be, I mean, I don't know why things happen, but we could get to some dirt that you, man, I'm holding on to that dirt, you know, and I'm going to, like, get off the highway and hang out at the rest stop for a while I play with my dirt, you know? So, you know, there could be all kinds of complications to consider here, you know?
That's like the monkey with the, what did you give the example? You said nuts? The monkey with the nuts in the hand? Trying to hold on and get free at the same time. Have your cake and eat it too.
They once asked Muhammad Ali. Hmm. He was a big fighter. And, you know, in those kind of athletes, you end up elite clubs where you can practice, and you're practicing with all the big guys. But he used to practice with the junior wrestlers, boxers. So they were puzzled at that. He said, well, these guys, they've won their medals. And sometimes, you know, when you win medals, you get a little slack. Because some of your goals have been attained. Well, the new boxers, they have nothing. They're starting, so they're fresh. They're really fired up because they want some medal. They want some recognition.
Nice example.
So I like to box with them because they give me that energy that I don't necessarily get.
They're hungry.
Yeah, they're hungry, and these guys, they're not as hungry because they've been fed to some extent. You know, they've won some medals, and they got some titles, and so that was his use. Sometimes that is also there where we have been around on comfort zone, you know?
Yes.
I mean, I've been chanting, I'm not going to bloop. I mean, come on, I've been here for 40 years, right? Mm-hmm. I've gone through highs and lows. I've seen things happen. I'm safe. I'm okay. I don't have to
very good.
Go so crazy on it.
All right, you done?
Quick story about the love of Krishna and Srila Prabhupada in relation to his devotees, and just also, you know, a little advantage on this path can save us from this kind of fear. So the story is a sannyasi, and he left the movement. He was gone. He married a non-devotee, and this woman didn't really know anything about his spiritual life at all. But this sannyasi, he got cancer, and he was dying. And he was just laying there, you know, getting ready to die. And all of a sudden, he looks up, and he says, Prabhupada, you've come after so many years. And he passed away. And the wife was like, whoa. Yeah, exactly. Who is that? So she looked, you know, she Googled it, she looked it up, she went to Prabhupada, found out, you know, famous and nasty, but it's like, wow, it's Srila Prabhupada, and he loves his devotees, his disciples, his grandchildren that much, that even if something else might be a not believe, which is true, he is there for
us. Nice. We were in Vrindavan when Mula Prakriti was leaving her body, and she was just days away. And she woke up one day and told us about a dream or vision that she had, where she walked up to she was in a beautiful grove with kind of like a hill, and all the devotees were sitting on the hill, and she had been associating with some Gaudiya Mutha people also, and everybody was on this side of the fence, and then there was a door with it was even more beautiful on the other side of the fence. It was like one of those ones where you can see through. And there was kind of like a lock that was difficult for her. She was trying to manipulate and get the lock open so she could go to the other beautiful side. And Srila Prabhupada came up from the other side and said, "Don't worry, I'll open the door when it's ready, when you're ready." And she told us that. Adan Mohan Prabhu.
Just a couple little points that I thought of is in the Bhaktalata Beach example, the seed of devotional service is taken in the heart, and because it's a seed, it has to be watered. And the watering process.
Right. If you stop the watering,
then naturally it dries up. And the other, in Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Instruction, they have a word, niyamagraha. Mm-hmm. Is that what you were explaining more or less? Is that, in other words, if you lose sight of why you're doing it, there's a special fizz, like in a soda, that the fizz of why you're doing it, that ever-fresh navayoganam.
Examples.
And if it
goes out of the drink.
Yeah, then you're doing it, but it doesn't have the
right.
Navi Yoga.
Yes, it becomes mechanical. Gradually, you're going to lose taste. Did you talk about that?
You were giving the example of the sunshine coming up, and I was thinking of two things that you know, for us to experience some of these higher rasas and siddhadeyas and all that, it's challenging in many ways. For many years until recently, I could kind of describe that experience from distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, that you know, kind of vaults you into a whole different realm, that you might not be able to get on your own from studying and so forth.
He gave such a wonderful program for the movement, so practical and common sense, that you go out and distribute these books. Yeah. Then what is your consciousness going to be all day? You're talking about Krishna. You're telling people about Krishna. You're naturally absorbed. It's a natural byproduct.
What's amazing is, like, I for the last 15 or so years, I was selling rugs at a place in Jacksonville, but we had a little one of the little smart boxes there with books, six different books and a donation box. And so often people would, like, see it, and they'd ask about it. And it was like, the change from going from selling a rug to
great,
distributing a book, it was like, it was like all of a sudden the lights would go on.
And all of a sudden you get enthused and enlivened, and it's not just the money.
You feel this, like, oh my God, and it was quite a real experience of the sun.
Nice, beautiful. Thank you. There must be one more.
One of my favorite quotes, this is very much in line with what we're discussing. This was in the early days of Juhu, and Tamal Krishnamurti was Prabhupada's man for getting the job done. They're very tough, and one day Tamal Krishnamurti exclaimed to Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, how can I think of Krishna? My mind is simply filled with temple finances." So then Prabhupada said, "Yes, many lifetimes we've wasted it on ourselves. If just in this one lifetime we can dedicate heart and soul to pushing on Lord Chaitanya's movement, then at the end, even if we're not completely perfect, Lord Chaitanya will personally come and take us back to Godhead." And one interesting point, I saw this happen with my friend Nirguna. He was very dedicated. Yes. And at the end, it was just powerful, how he got very rapidly purified, came to a very high level of Krishna consciousness. And Gauraj Swami asked me to, he actually recorded, I didn't even know this was going to happen, but I spoke. Somehow or other, Krishna put me in Vrindavan for the opening of the hospice here, and he asked me to speak, and I spoke about Nirguna's departure. they transcribed it and put it into the book. But in a course of our exchanges, he said to me that it's not just Nirguna. Many devotees have gone through similar things. You know, they weren't considered so advanced, maybe prior to the dying process actively starting, but they all came to that same point. You know, and this was observed, the symptoms of advanced Krishna consciousness were observed by very senior devotees.
Uh-huh.
So it's a promise that Prabhupada gave us. You know, and Krishna stands right behind it.
Right.
And so we don't really have to worry.
Right. What a nice note to end on. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.